Our Heavenly Father, you are Lord on everything. Everything's under your feet. You present in this room, you watch our worship service. So I pray that you would please, with our singing, our praise to you. For the rest of the time, we're going to listen to your message. So I pray the Holy Spirit will be with me, using me to share the message from the scripture and only from the scripture. And I pray the Holy Spirit will be in the heart of each one in this room so can hear your voice and apply the lesson for their life. Everything we do for your glory, Father, and we pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Today we continue with the book of Mark, chapter 2. And I pick from verse 13 to verse 28 to start the sermon this morning. Last week, you already heard about chapter 1 from Reverend Chris. Today, we go to chapter 2. Talk about the kingdom people. And if you have the PowerPoint, that could be great. How many times have you found yourself in an awkward situation or even in the setting of uncomfortable movements? And how do you react? What did you do? You may have handle the discomfort by whisper to yourself, oh, I don't even want to be here. I don't think I fit in this place. I'm not sure if I belong in this place. The anxiety will subdue only when you are sure that you really belong there. Last week, a couple of days ago, I had the chance to talk with the very young doctor, and he shared with me the story. He said, you know, when he work in and the patient come in and suddenly the patient look at him and say, oh, you're too young. You look too young. And one side of him, my goodness, I'm going through like about, you know, 12 years, more than 12 years of training here. I'm over 30 years old. And you walk in here as a patient and you tell me, you're too young. But one side of him, he almost like responds negatively. But somehow in his mind and by the grace of God, he kept switched the situation around and said, oh, thank you very much. My father and my mom probably have a very good gene. So I wish I'm still have the same appearance, 50, you know, when I'm 50. And suddenly the people kept laugh and then talk and then you have a good time with the patients. And he earned the respect from the patients. So sometimes we may face some situation and put you in the defense and put you in the situation, why should I have to treat this person just like this young doctor? But again, when you switch the thinking around, people kept laugh, relax, and you have the good patience of the future. You see that happen a lot. And I have an opportunity to talk with another doctor last week. Last week I talked with a lot of doctors, believe it or not. And this doctor is just so good. This is another one, okay? This doctor is so good. When the patient coming in, instead of the job like about 15 or 20 minutes, and this doctor can treat in about like 5 minutes. And suddenly, the thought is happening in the mind. My goodness, everybody treat like 15 minutes, and here I do only 5. So what exactly the patients were thinking? Basically, you don't know what you're doing. You do so quick, so it may mean you don't know what you're doing. So this doctor kept like, do it over and over and try to stretch out to 15 minutes. You know, like the time limit. So it looked like, even though I had to do the same thing about 3 times over. So when the two doctors get together and talk, and say, wait a minute, you need to switch around and thinking about, hey, you are a very, very busy person. So instead of keep you here for 30 or 15 or 20 minutes, I can get you out of here real quick in about 5 minutes. You have a very good job. So the same situation you would find out it also depends on the mind, how you set or how you frame the thinking, and overall would help out. And the same thing, it happened for Jesus Christ. You find out Jesus Christ, where he gave the people listen to him the cup of assurance, because when he, when he preached at the seashore of the Sea of Galilee, and the people, the crowd, really gathering around him. And of course, there's a religious leaders in there, the Pharisee is in there, confront him about his instruction. So suddenly he put on the spot. But when we study the book of Mark chapter 2, you will find out he respond to them. But in his response, he provides the insight of what kind of people belong to the kingdom of God. What kind of people are we? So when we understand about ourselves in the kingdom of God, our position in the kingdom of God, our position as a Christian, we can face the world without fear. But in order to understand that, we need to understand what exactly Jesus Christ is teaching us. The reason I share this, so we have the same assurance. We belong to the kingdom of God. We are the Christian. And we see that we have the need in Jesus Christ. And we have believing in him. And by that belief system, it helps us to face the world. If you had a click, that would be great too. So the kingdom of God includes the people who need the physician. That's what he's talking about. And if we go back to verse 14 to verse 17, then Jesus went out again beside the sea. The whole crowd was coming to him, and he taught them. Then moving on, he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax office. He said to him, "Follow me." So he got up and followed him. While he was reclining at the table in Levi's house, many tax collectors and sinners were also guests, and Jesus and his disciples, because there were many who were following him. And the scribe of Pharisees saw that he was eating with the sinners and tax collectors. They asked his disciple, "Why does he eat with the tax collectors and sinners?" When Jesus heard this, he told them, "Those who are well don't need a doctor, but the sick do need one. I didn't come to call the righteous, but the sinner." So you would find out the criticism. The Pharisee complained about Jesus associated with the sinner like Levi. Let's backtrack a little bit. Levi, he's the tax collector. From the time of Israel, at that time, they under the Roman control. So they hate the tax collector because they tie the tax collector and the sinner the same thing. So the criticism revealed the Pharisee, the tendency to believe that the people who don't win their approval, do not qualify to be the citizen of God's kingdom. So basically, in their mind, they said, "Hey, if you not belong to our group, you not belong to the kingdom of God. So you are the sinner under whatever, our rule. If you're not under our rule, you not belong to the kingdom of God." So when they look at the Levi, or later on, you will find out Jesus Christ, when called Levi, and changed his name to Matthew. And Matthew, the meaning of Matthew is a gift of God. So they begin to attack Jesus Christ. Basically said, "You sit and eat with the sinner." So how did Jesus Christ respond? He responded, he compared the sick person and the well person. So he declared he came for the people who need the physician. And that's interesting. So what exactly the kingdom of God people? So the kingdom of God isn't composed what the people who consider themselves to be self-reliant, religious successes. On contrary, we are suited to the kingdom when we know that we need to turn to Jesus, because he only can make us whole. So what exactly does it mean? What kind of people God would accept to his kingdom? Basically, he communicated to us, or the people of that time, whoever need Jesus Christ will belong to the kingdom of God. So that reason why you are the children of God, you are the kingdom people, you have to have the view of Jesus Christ when you look at the people. If the people who need Jesus Christ need his healing regardless of whatever reason, it can be spiritual, can be physically, it can be whatever, they are belong to the kingdom of God. And we, the one who introduced Jesus Christ, the healing process from him to that people so they can belong to the kingdom of God. I have the notes here from one of the my professor. Basically, he's talking about what kind of people is not belong to the kingdom of God. The people basically don't know Christ. It's the people who don't know Christ, they will not belong to the kingdom of God. But if we look from another perspective, why the people don't know Christ or doesn't know Christ? If nobody tell this person or these people about Christ, and now how can they would know Christ? So if the people who don't know Christ or who doesn't know Christ will not belong to the kingdom of God. So we have to have the heart of Christ when we look at the people. So we see the people and begin to ask a question. Did or does this person have the opportunity to know Christ or not? If you tell them about Christ, they're not accepted, and then we get into category number two. Category number two, it basically be people who know Christ but not believe in him, and they will not belong to the kingdom of God. So at least if you study in the book of Romans, when you share the message, it means your part is done. They don't know Christ, but now they know Christ. But they know Christ, but they don't believe in him. So the burden belongs to them, not belong to you. And thirdly, the people who know Christ, but they not even trust him. That's the third category, the Pharisee people. The Pharisee people, basically, they know the scripture. They know the Old Testament. They teach the Old Testament. They teach the scripture. However, they know everything, but they didn't believe in Jesus Christ, the Savior, the anointed one. They don't believe that. So that reason why you would find out a lot of people around this world, they believe on their own righteousness. If I do right, I belong to the heaven. But it's not so. Because the Bible said, whoever believes in him, Jesus Christ, will have everlasting life. But another point you would find out is the kingdom would include the people who enjoy the Lord's presence. Verse 18 to 22. If you have the Bible, you can read with me. Now John's disciple and Pharisee were fasting. People came and asked him, why do John's disciple and the Pharisee disciple fast, but your disciple do not fast? Jesus said to them, the wedding guests cannot fast while the groom is with them, can they? As long as they have the groom with them, they cannot fast. But the time will come when the groom is taken away from them, and then they will fast in that day. No one sews a patch of unshrunken cloth on an old garment, or otherwise the new patch pulled away and the old cloth from the old cloth, and the worst tear is made, and no one puts the new one in on one skin. Otherwise, the one will burst the skin, and the one will lost is lost as well as the skin. But new wine is for fresh white skin. So what exactly Jesus Christ tried to tell us when the people complaining, What exactly do people complain? People complain about fasting. It's so interesting. This morning, one of the couple at the church asked me about fasting, because when they approach, you know, we get approached to Good Friday and Easter, and they way back, they practice fasting. So what exactly fasting they're talking about here? Based on the law or the rule, if you study the book of Leviticus, on the Sabbath day, the Israel people or the Jew, they fast. Basically, they didn't eat anything. They only drink liquid, you know, from evening, start the day, until the morning, the next day. That's the fasting. And based on the Bible, when the people do the fasting, they're supposed to pray. Okay? When they fast everything. Not only just food, but also they're also fasting in terms of a sexual relationship between husband and wife. So all of that also in sync. So they're talking about the complaint, the people fast. John's disciple also fast. But Christ's disciple didn't do it. Why? They very much complain. So Jesus would give the example about the wedding. About the wedding between the bride and the groom. So he's talking about the choice of the experience of the people in his kingdom would also experience. So he gives the reason the joy comes from when we have a relationship with him. It cannot a part of the religion process. So he says it's just like the new wine. We cannot put in our own container, our own pigskin bag. So the fasting, if there is no relationship with Christ, it's just like the practice of the religious ritual. So the kingdom people, we experience new life in Christ. And if we have Christ in us from the time of the people of Jesus Christ, he was there and they don't need to fast. But the next time when he was away and the people will fasting. So what exactly the fasting of the church? Okay, our church, we only communicate and encourage people fasting, especially when the holiday coming up. But there is three type of fasting you have to prepare for. Sometimes the people only fasting, it means they skip one meal a day and use that time for praying. And some people, they fast the whole day, use the time for prayer. Okay, when you're fasting, it means you cut down or you cut the solid food and you only drink liquid. Okay, some people, they fast for a whole week. And some people, they fast for 40 days. But you know yourself, you know your faith, you know where you are in the journey of faith, and you know your health. So that reason why we don't, as a church, we don't force people, okay, you have to do one day, you have to do, skip one meal, or you do 7 days, or 10 days, or 40 days. You know you, how you walk with God. Okay? But another type of fasting, and very much encourage people to do, I call it intermittent fasting. Because a lot of our church, a lot of people very much like, again, to the higher age, so they always have high cholesterol, high sugar, all of that illness in the body. And then I would encourage, you know, they call it intermediate fast. Intermediate fast is very much if you're at the low level, you have meal within 8 hours, can be 3 meals a day, 8 hours, and the rest of time you don't eat. And you get to a higher level, okay, intermittent fasting, 6 hours, you have 3 meals a day within 6 hours, and then you skip the rest of the time. And you get to the higher level, you fast, you eat 3 meals a day, but within 4 hours, and you skip the rest. Regardless what type of fasting you use, remember the time of fasting is time for prayer. Relax, communicate with God, reunion with Him, and have peace, love, joy, all of that in you. So that's what we encourage. We don't have the fixed rule. But once a while, we might send out an email and say, hey, we're thinking about from this time of fasting. If you have your choice to do it. One meal, whole day, couple days, 7 days, 10 days, 40 days, or intermediate fasting. It's up to you. We don't have fixed rule and guideline. But at least when you're fasting, you focus yourself in, communicate or praying with God. And the Bible, and Jesus Christ, he's talking about he is the reason for rejoicing. And thirdly, the kingdom includes the people who surrender to God, to the Lord. In verse 23 to 28, let me flip the Bible here. On the Sabbath, he was going through the grain field, and his disciples began to make their way, picking some heads of grain. The Pharisees said to him, look, why are they doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath? He said to them, have you ever read that what David and those who were with him did when he was in need and hungry? How he entered the house of God in the time of Abiathar, the high priest, and ate the sacred bread, which is not lawful for anyone to eat except the priest, and also gave some to his companion. Then he told them, the Sabbath was made for man, and not man for Sabbath. Therefore, the Son of Man is the Lord even of the Sabbath. So we would understand the kingdom includes the people who surrender to the Lord. Let's talk a little bit about the law about the Sabbath. You would find out the law of the Sabbath is very, very strict. Do we still have enough time? How much time do I have? 5 minutes. Okay, let me skip to explain about the law of the Sabbath. So basically, the Pharisee couldn't understand why Jesus didn't direct his disciples to obey the Sabbath law. They insist and exhibit inclination to reduce the relationship with God to nothing more than keeping religious rule that we have fashioned ourselves. But again, Jesus Christ, he is the law of the Sabbath. So he clarified the issue, remind the Pharisee of his authority over Sabbath. What exactly is the Sabbath day? The Sabbath days give us opportunity to rest and worship him. God never intended the Sabbath day to replace him as an object of our devotion. And that's what happened to the Pharisee. The Pharisee, instead of worship God, now they put the holiday or the Sabbath day to replace God. And that's absolutely wrong. And Jesus Christ talking about he is the law of the Sabbath. So the people on the Sabbath day come and worship him, not establish the rule very much. The people follow the rule and forgot about the law. So a conclusion you would find out, Jesus' instruction assure you have place in God's kingdom through faith in him. And that's where you belong. That's where you should to live. Don't convince yourself otherwise if you had to face with some situation. So instead, hold on to your faith, follow him and to be safe. If you're not a believer, follow him, be safe. But if you're a believer, you're thankful or you thank him for including him for his kingdom, in his kingdom, and make your growth, discipleship, we're talking about growth, in him as a priority. So basically, you go back to the own principle of discipleship, learn how to pray, to worship, study his word, and also serving him by working in the ministry or evangelism. Let us stand up so we can read the calling. Let's read the prayer together. Our Heavenly Father, I pray to be a kingdom person, rejoicing, obeying you, and bring the good news to the people who need your healing. In Jesus' name, amen. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you very much just being here to learn your word, to remind us we are the kingdom people, and we rejoice in you. We surrender to you, and we bring the message of you to the people who need your help, who need you. Everything we do for your glory. May God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit will be with all the people, all the kingdom people in this room, from now and forever. Amen.